This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Searchers are still looking through the debris in central Texas nearly a week after the deadly flooding in Hill Country. 120 people lost their lives. At least 170 are still missing, and there are a lot of questions being asked about the warnings in response when the worst of the flooding began. In Los Angeles, 31 people getting out with only minor injuries after the tunnel they were in collapsed 6 miles from the entrance. Russia launching another massive air attack targeting the Ukrainian capital of Kyiv. Overnight, it followed the launch of more than 700 drones against Ukraine one night before. ABC's Martha Raddatz with more on what's been happening this week.
This attack was massive and devastating after a record-breaking week. The Russian airstrikes largely targeting Ukraine's capital. The strikes following some of the toughest language yet from President Trump aimed at Vladimir Putin.
Ukrainian President Zelensky in Italy trying to gain support for ending the war. This is ABC News.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. A man died Saturday night in a firework accident. At approximately 9:55, deputies of the Sauk County Sheriff's Office responded to an address on Minnie Creek Road in the town of Laval for the report of a person injured by a firework. Upon arrival, deputies located Jeremiah McQuiston, 46, of Laval. McQuiston had sustained injuries to the upper part of his body, as well as a significant injury to his right wrist. Bystanders had already begun life-saving measures and were assisted by the responding deputies. Laval Fire, Laval First Responders, and Reedsburg EMS arrived shortly after and continued life-saving measures, which were unsuccessful, and Jeremiah McQuiston was pronounced dead at the scene. A 43-year-old Lone Rock man is facing multiple charges after leading law enforcement on a high-speed chase early Monday morning in Iowa County. According to the Iowa County Sheriff's Office, the incident began around 5:30 when a deputy observed a vehicle traveling 106 miles per hour in a 55-mile-per-hour zone on Highway 23 near Nelson Road in the town of Dodgeville. Despite the deputy activating emergency lights and sirens, the driver continued at a high rate of speed before finally coming to a stop near Gold Mine Road. The driver, identified as Tyson Edward Rogers, admitted to the excessive speed. A records check revealed that Rogers is currently out on felony bail in Sauk County and is also on probation and parole. The Department of Corrections was contacted and confirmed a hold would be placed. Tyson Rogers was taken into custody without incident and transported to the Iowa County Jail. He is facing charges including fleeing or eluding an officer and felony bail jumping. A court appearance is scheduled for August 12th. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Some time off for the Brew Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers have the night off before they host the Nationals tomorrow night. The Brewers beat the Dodgers yesterday, 3-2 in 10 innings. Jackson Churio at the plate with Sal Frelick at third on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Churio.
It's also the first time the Brewers have ever swept the Dodgers in a series played in Milwaukee. And after the game, it was announced that closer Trevor McGill has been selected for the All-Star game next week in Atlanta. NBA, Bobby Portis tells ESPN why he wanted to stay in Milwaukee and play for the Bucks.
Just the atmosphere, man. Just the culture, man. Just being in Milwaukee kind of helped shape and make my career.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly sunny to partly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms. Our high in the low to mid 80s this afternoon. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms are possible. We'll drop into the mid 60s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms possible with a high in the mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 70.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Years ago, I had a rainbow. No, it was a shirt. It was given to me, and I wore it because I support all people. And a friend of mine, like, you sure you want to walk around in that? You know, a t-shirt, people might think. I'm like, people might think I'm a human being that supports other human beings. I wear sports jerseys sometimes. No one ever says, are you worried people are going to think you're on the Cubs?
I don't think anyone would think that, though.
Oh, you haven't seen my curveball.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Green Bay's own Frank Hermans into the studio to discuss his new show at the Meyer Theater. Then Madison film critic Rob Thomas joins the show to talk movies, TV, and Madison.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Good morning and welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us if you would like. Call or text at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment if you're watching the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We've had a couple alterations.
Just a few.
Just a couple of things we've had to move around on the show today, some conflicts and other things. It's all good.
Yeah.
And we still have a really busy show coming up for you today. Andrea Watkins is going to be back on the show. She is a New York Times bestselling author, and she also has a terrific Substack that we will talk about. And she grew up in a Christian nationalist household. So she has very interesting perspectives, particularly when it comes to Project 2025 and how that plays into what is currently happening under the Trump administration. So all we're hearing now about Medicaid and the cuts to Medicaid is the dignity of work. We're going to give people the dignity of work. Andrea has an interesting perspective on that take on it.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about that with her coming up after the 9:30 news. In hour number two, after 10 o'clock, we promised to talk about this. The IRS has decided that it's fine for preachers to preach politics from the pulpit, even though, you know, they're exempt from the IRS and all that stuff. We would love to know how you feel about that.
Yes.
And yeah. Is that just a free speech issue? Is that not a problem? Or should they have their tax exempt status revoked?
And I know we have a lot of people who are identified as religious Christians who listen to this show. We'd love to know.
Yeah.
We would love to know, please.
Absolutely. That will be right after the 10 o'clock news. Brittany Merlot will be here with weather and wine. Find out what's going to go on today into the weekend and what is coming up as far as the weather goes. At 10:35, J.R. Radcliffe, we had to reschedule J.R., but we're still going to do an audio sorbet related to the Brewers.
Darn right.
Good news yesterday.
Darn right. Get that broom out.
So we're going to talk some favorite Brewers memories.
Yeah.
Coming up after 10:30. And then we'll wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Matcha Matcha Man.
And you got it. Matcha Man
edition. Man. So stick around for that. That's coming up around 10:51-ish. Just a reminder as well, we are going on the road, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, Matinee on Air and the Todd Alba Show. Hitting the road, we will be stopping in Oshkosh next Wednesday.
Yeah.
On Thursday, we will be in Butternut. And on Friday, we will be in Hayward, Wisconsin. We're going to talk about the EAA Air Venture, which is coming up. Packers training camp is going on. We're going to learn about the history of Butternut and other small towns in Wisconsin. I'm so excited about going to Butternut. I am.
I know you are. You're knocking
this is
out.
My new favorite place. I've never been.
I just can't wait to see what the next place will be. Jane's favorite place she's never been yet.
So we'll be in Butternut on Thursday and then Friday in Hayward. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully you'll be able to come out and join us. Our special road trip editions, Matt Nair on air and Todd Alba. We hit the road next week, next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday.
If you've got suggestions of places to go, restaurants, cafes, little stores along that route.
Ice cream. Just saying. It's a thought.
Send that information to janesays@civicmedia.us. You can send it just, it doesn't have to be anything crazy. Just, a few suggestions.
Here's a great place for pizza. Mm-hmm. Here's a great place for scones.
Scones of peace.
Scones of peace.
That's a throwback.
We'd love your suggestions.
Yeah. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, if you live in Oshkosh or Hayward or Butternut or Park Falls.
Or along that route.
Yeah, along that stretch, because we are going to be traveling. It's kind of a long haul between Oshkosh and Butternut.
Yeah.
It's about a 3.5-hour drive, so we'll have plenty of time to make some stops along the way, especially if there would be, like, ice cream.
Also, at all of our advanced ages, there'll be a lot of stops. Just, I got to go to the bathroom.
Yeah, there'll be that, too, probably. That is all next week. I hope you can join us. Did want to start off with this, though, from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Lawrence Andrea has the byline, Elon Musk, Donald Trump blow up makes waves with Wisconsin Republicans. Does it really?
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 The fallout between Trump and Elon Musk over the big blob of a bill has made its way into Wisconsin, according to this article. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson this week called Elon's proposal to create a third political party, the America Party, counterproductive.
Ah, yes, of course.
Counterproductive. This would most likely hurt Republicans. And Wisconsin's own Derek Van Orden has appeared to try to call Musk's bluff after Elon threatened to unseat every Republican who voted for this blob of a bill. And Orden responded last month to a tweet by saying, bring it on, essentially. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, look.
They all loved him.
Yeah,
they loved him
like a month and a half ago.
Leading up to the election.
The April 1 election.
Here in
Wisconsin.
They loved him.
He could do no wrong.
Yep.
This man full of ketamine and hope really just, with his chainsaw and his weird hats, came into the game and people just saw. They so desperately wanted a Tony Stark character. And he's been pushing that narrative for so long.
Oh, he'd love to be Tony Stark.
The only problem is that Tony Stark is what I wrote it down here.
He's a hero.
Tony Stark is two things. First of all, he's not real, and in the comic books, he is smart. So really, when it comes down to it, like Elon Musk from 2 years ago, I understand why people would view him as this, super genius creator, blah, blah, blah. But over the past, I would say, year, we've really seen the truth. And really by his own design, too. He's from financing Twitter, because he didn't buy it with his money. He financed it through other people.
Right.
And really turning that place into a cesspool. And the stuff with Grok coming out this week.
This last week has been just crazy.
So really, like, we're seeing his true colors. But what's funny is that his true colors, in my opinion, match the MAGA colors, too. And so the fact that there is fighting is funny. It just goes to show it's all about ego, because I don't want to say they essentially agree on everything, but they're both sides of this coin are equally unhinged.
Yes.
And based in false narratives.
And their own grandiosity.
But because they have two separate leaders, they can't.
There can only be one.
The MAGA people were only going to allow Elon in as they were calling him a shadow president. This was not, I didn't make this up. This has been in all sorts of media, but that's as far as he could ever get. The moment he started taking the spotlight, and when April 1 hit and Susan Crawford won by a lot.
Yeah.
That stained his look immediately.
Yeah. Don't forget, too, Brad Schimmel ultimately lost by double digits.
I think it was 11 points.
Yeah, got smoked.
And it was another, just like Janet Protasiewicz's election three years ago, right? Who knows? Time's a construct.
It is.
No, it was 2 years ago. It was 2023. It was decided and announced and over with, like, within the hour.
Oh, the election?
Like, this was
the results came in so quickly because it was so overwhelming.
Yeah, this was not, and Elon Musk, along with the usual Wisconsin Republican suspects of fundraisers, gave so much money to a state Supreme Court race, and they lost.
And they lost.
And that is what started to tarnish the
vibe. Golden boy. Yeah, he was the golden boy of everything.
So now they're not getting along.
Well, Senator Ron Johnson says, unfortunately, if Elon does form a third party, it will split fiscal conservatives and probably help Democrats who have no fiscal control. Wait, or any desire to reduce the deficit. This is from Wisconsin Senior Senator Ron Johnson. Democrats have no fiscal control or any desire to reduce the deficit. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You probably aren't.
Ron Johnson voted for this big blob of a bill, which essentially increases the deficit. What is it, $3
trillion? $3 to $4 trillion.
$3 to $4 trillion.
Conservatively. That's a conservative number. They're giving it. Yeah. And he also voted for the previous bill under Trump, which increased the deficit.
Yes. But they make the tax cuts for wealthy people permanent.
I would also love to meet all of these fiscal conservatives he speaks of, because that was also a narrative they got to push years ago. We're fiscally conservative. No, you're not. You're not. You never have been. You love spending money. You just don't like spending certain monies. And well, you love keeping your money.
Right. They don't like spending money on certain things. Yeah.
And there's an argument to be made, and we can go. I would rather get into it with an expert. And I was, because I heard this in a news article about the fact that fiscal conservative, and this might be upset. This might upset some Democrats listening, too, but I don't care. Fiscal conservative is just a racist dog whistle, because when we talk about fiscal conservatism, we talk about the notion of being good with America's money, and that always hampers social programs. When we talk about fiscal conservatism, we never put things like the military in serious discussion. There's never a talk about cutting military spending.
Ever.
Ever. It's always the programs, the Medicaids, the Medicares, the SNAPs, you know, a program that provides money for farmers to give money to food banks. It's never say, hey, you know, and this is, I'm not making a defund the police statement here, but I'm simply saying we're never talking about maybe a small city in America doesn't need a tank because we're fiscal conservatives.
Well, and I go back to... Now I completely lost my train of thought.
I apologize.
That's okay. But yeah, the whole, the Defense Department.
Yes.
The Defense Department, which again is getting a huge boost in this budget bill,
yeah,
has not been able to pass an audit. I believe it's for the last decade.
Yeah.
The last 10 years. They're all about everybody, other agencies, especially social agencies like SNAP and all of those things being accountable for all of their money and all of their expenditures. But when it comes to the DOD, apparently it's like, yeah, let's give them more money. It's fine. They just, you know, they forgot to carry the one.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's always the IRS and the EPA and the Department of Education. These are all departments and sections of the government which pose threats to the GOP supremacy. The IRS. I mean, how much money did they make back
When we increased the number of agents who were auditing wealthy people?
Yep.
Didn't we pull in $1 billion
into
that?
About that. We're looking at education. They hate public education. They want to get rid of that. They want to get rid of the IRS. They want to get rid of the EPA. My God, of course. Of course they hate the EPA. It's always cuts to those programs which threaten them. But we're never cutting DOD money. And honestly, I'm not even making the claim to say we need to cut the DOD at this point. I don't have the figures. I'm just saying it needs to be a serious part of the conversation if you want to call yourself truly fiscally conservative.
Well, and you can always go back to Dick Cheney's quote, who said at one point, deficits don't matter.
Nah.
Dick Cheney said that. Coming up, not only can he roll logs, he can head NASA. A new job for Wisconsin's own Sean Duffy. That's coming up. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Fly me.
From the center, WRCE.
For 75 years, the Muscular Dystrophy Association's voices have thundered through the halls of Congress.
For 75 years, we've willed the impossible into existence.
For 75 years, the MDA community has pushed the science,
shifted the narrative,
and established the field of neuromuscular medicine.
And until that day, when this is all a thing of the past,
you couldn't stop us if you tried.
Join us and celebrate 75 years of breakthroughs at MDA75.org.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Trump is again trying to have it both ways on agricultural workers. He says they're working on, quote, a temporary pass where the farmer can have a little control as opposed to you walk in and take everybody away. He's describing feudalism, where the people who work the land are more under direct control of the land owners rather than the rule of law. He wants the vassals. He wants the lords. He wants the peasants.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big brutal bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on wrce.fm/contest-terms. As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide bringing it. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just want to remind you that Civic Media, we do have stations all across the state. I think we're up to, what, 26 now?
Yeah, I think so.
And a whole bunch of our stations are music stations.
Yes.
So if you got the Civic Media app, which you should because it's absolutely free, you can listen to any one of our music stations. If you're going for a walk or you're going for a bike ride or whatever you're doing, take us with you. You can check out 105.7 WCFW in Eau Claire.
What's up, Eau Claire?
98Q Country in Park Falls. Catch some country music. And, of course, WRJN right across the hall from us here. The best of the oldies. They're fantastic.
Do you know what I love about that, Jane?
What's that?
Is that it's the best of the oldies, and I'm hearing songs from, like, the 70s on there.
It's so. Because we're old now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're old.
Yes, just me. That's true. But yes, please download the Civic Media app and check out our music stations.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Again, when you go for a walk or you just want to check out something different, that's another way to help support Civic Media. We really appreciate it. Wanted to spend a little time about this. Donald Trump has named U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy now as interim NASA administrator. Just as a reminder, in his first administration, I don't think he had anything but actings or interims.
So in the beginning of his first term, he went through the process of confirming
Senate confirmations.
Exactly. And he did that for this one too. It's a much different cast of characters because he was doing it in the old way. The traditional, more acceptable way, because he had surrounding him, while they weren't all experts in their field, Rex Tillerson, they were people who were seen as guardrails to Trump.
People who would tell him no.
Exactly.
Or at least point out where he was wrong.
And people who, if they left, wouldn't talk smack about him, Rex Tillerson. And somewhere around middle of that first term, he just made everyone acting because that way he could just fire them outright.
And put in whoever he wanted.
He didn't have to go through Senate confirmations. He can make acting and fire and replace and rehire and blah, blah, blah. And it made it so he could control that flow, essentially.
Well, and again, he wants to surround himself with loyalists.
Oh, my. Yeah. And that is what has happened now, because he went through the confirmation process in his second term, but everyone who went through there, I don't know if there was a single person who was getting confirmed through those first few weeks who people weren't outraged at, even though some Democrats even voted for them. But that's not the point. The point is that he is, I'm wondering if he's going to do that again, because, you know, depending on the scuttle you hear, Pete Hegseth, it always seems like he's on his way out. But will he put in place an actual head of NASA? I don't know. But this is transportation. Rockets get you places.
Well, yes. Rockets go places.
Yes.
I think that the whole goal is to, like every other head of every other agency, is to dismantle the agency. Mm-hmm. And so Duffy can take apart NASA, I think, probably just as well as anybody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it's not there to build up the program or support the program. It's about breaking it up.
And every other president has, let me rephrase that. It's been the goal, it should be the goal of every other president to appoint secretaries who can run their departments independent of the executive branch to make those decisions, especially in terms of like the DOJ, whether or not they make the decision to go after certain people and stand up to the president if there's doing something that's a little nefarious or unconstitutional. But that's not what we're having. Every single decision you listen to any secretary, Brooke Rollins yesterday, we played a clip from her. It's not just about the policies they set forth. It's about praising the guy in the White House to say, this is what we're doing.
And this is the best thing that has ever been done.
Absolutely.
By any administration ever.
In fact, I don't even think George Washington was ever president. I think it was just a previous Donald Trump. He's been our president for 249 years.
John Duffy, responding to his announcement on social media, I am honored to accept this mission. Time to take over space. Let's launch. Flag emoji, airplane emoji.
Airplane emoji?
Yeah. And then there's a spaceship at the beginning. Or a rocket. Sorry.
He probably thinks space is too DEI. Yeah. I mean, what's he going to do? Like, he'll get another briefing in the day. And then, I mean, really, when it comes down to it, and I'd like to delve into it deeper on another show, but the amount of money that Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk got for their little man boy space mission companies, I just feel like what they're going to eventually do is just divert NASA.
They want to privatize it.
Privatize it, divert it to those two, and that's it. And we get to see those two fight. It's another Doge. Remember Vivek and Elon were going to run Doge together, right? And that was laughable. But yeah, I think these are just the plans. You dismantle them and
privatize them.
Yeah.
Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Gene. Real quickly, we're just up against the wall here. What did you want to say?
I had to pinch myself to see if I was still having a bad dream or a nightmare or something, you know, like incompetency equals deterioration of all the programs that he's put idiots in. Thanks, guys, for the information. You have a good day. Bye.
You as well, Gene. Thank you so much. We were going to have Jim Santel on. We had some rescheduling things that we had to do. We will talk about this next week.
Yes.
The Supreme Court has essentially given Donald Trump now the okay to go ahead and get rid of low-level, mid-level federal workers and replace them with loyalists, because that's what this is about.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about competency.
No.
It's not about the best people for the job. No. It's about the best people who will do everything that he wants.
Yep.
Essentially.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
I said this for a long time. It's going to be a government full of your least competent cousins.
Jane, it's like we almost talked about this a lot last year about Project 2025 with Andra Watkins, who's coming up next.
She is New York Times best-selling author Andra Watkins on the other side, going to talk about the Christian nationalist embrace of the dignity of work. That's all on the way. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the vast statewide, countrywide, global on the app Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. Members of Wisconsin's Urban Search and Rescue Task Force, known as Wisconsin Task Force 1, are currently on their way to Texas to assist with search efforts following devastating flooding in portions of the state. Five members of Wisconsin TF1, as well as three canines, left Wisconsin Tuesday morning from the Regional All-Climate Training Center located at Volk Field in Camp Douglas. A suburban Milwaukee businessman, former Navy SEAL, and political newcomer entered Wisconsin's race for governor today, likening himself to President Donald Trump and promising a Wisconsin First agenda. Bill Berrien, age 56, becomes the second Republican to announce for the 2026 contest. Berrien served 9 years as a Navy SEAL and has been owner and CEO of Pindell Global Precision and Liberty Precision Manufacturers of Precision Machine Components in New Berlin for the past 13 years. He is married and has 2 children. Berrien formed a political action committee earlier this year that has raised $1.2 million since April. Berrien joins Washington County Executive Josh Schumann as the only announced candidates for the race. Numerous other Republicans are considering a run for governor next year, including U.S. Representative Tom Tiffany, who represents northern Wisconsin, State Senate President Mary Falsowski, and two-time losing U.S. Senate candidate Eric Hovde, a Madison businessman. This is Berrien's first race for office, and it's the first statewide campaign for both he and Schumann. Democratic Governor Tony Evers, age 73, has not yet said whether he will seek a third term, but indicated this week he will announce his decision this month. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Actor Mark Ruffalo has taken shots at podcaster Joe Rogan, insinuating that Rogan is late to the game with his ICE raid outrage. The Kenosha-born Ruffalo said it's a little late now to pretend like Project 2025 didn't exist and wasn't the playbook all along, saying about Rogan, you are either not that smart or not that dumb. It's hard to tell at this point. Ruffalo has a host of projects set to drop in the coming months, and despite a solid performance as always, is still probably trying to forget he was part of Mickey 17. AMC Theaters recently announced they would play more commercials before movies to help offset a budget deficit. That's probably not something most moviegoers wanted to hear, but in a move in the other direction, beginning July 8th, the movie chain will offer 50% off tickets on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. The chain has also announced they will offer discount popcorn and soda on those days. This will allow the movie-going public to save a few bucks while still trying to add a few extra pounds. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny to partly cloudy today with a chance of scattered thunderstorms. Our high in the low to mid 80s this afternoon. Tonight, scattered thunderstorms are possible. We'll drop into the mid 60s. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms possible with a high in the mid 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brutal Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing.
How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. Pat Kreitlow is along. We'll also talk to Rusty Volk, the fair director, and Eric Anderson of the U.S. Coupe Championship.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Good morning and welcome, to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Dr. Slide on the Board coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are waiting to be joined by New York Times bestselling author Andra Watkins. She has been on the show numerous times in the past few months. She was really one of the early people taking a real close look at Project 2025. She grew up in a Christian nationalist household. If you know anything about some of the authors about Project 2025, they are also very deeply embedded within that Christian nationalist movement. And there are many things within Project 2025 that are essentially goals of the Christian nationalist movement. Mm-hmm, so again, we're waiting to connect with Andra Watkins, New York Times best-selling author. She also has a great Substack as well that you can check out. We'll put a link in our show notes at Jane Says at civicmedia.us, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us.
I think one of the things we can talk about while we wait for her to get here is just the fact that, you know, we have been talking, this is July of 2025. I feel like at this point, we have been talking about Project 2025 for nearly a year. When it was published, it came out, we discussed it between you and I, and then we had Andra on and gave a deeper idea of what this document was about. But it was really frustrating to see it be, I won't say ignored, but it wasn't hitting the front page news until Taranji P. Henson said something in
an awards show.
An awards ceremony. And then everyone was like, oh. And then what happened was it's 900
pages. It's almost 1,000 pages long,
became something they couldn't deny anymore. Then all of a sudden it was deny. We don't know anything about it.
I've never heard of it before.
I never read it. I don't know anything about this document. And it laid in those pages everything they are doing now.
Yeah.
Everything they're doing.
To the gutting of Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Because in Project 2025, Noah is responsible for helping to create the climate crisis, Greg.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Not decades and decades of abuse.
Fossil fuels and all those things. No. So they have to get rid of Noah.
They have to get rid of Noah.
And they want science to align with the outcome that they want.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, dear scientists, here's the result we would like. So go backwards and make that make sense.
Yeah.
Is essentially what it does.
And that goes back to, and I use the example, I'm going to keep using the example because it's one of the most ridiculous. It goes back to when there was a hurricane that hit Florida and they were making their predictions and Donald Trump said, this is what's going to happen. And he was wrong.
Yes.
They had a map printed out on a piece of cardboard and he took a Sharpie and he redrew the lines of the affected area. And he thought that was fine. That set off, pardon the pun, a firestorm of controversy because you can't do that. But that's what he said. So that's what they wanted. So that's what they're going to do now is they're going to make all of these scientists are going to flee because that's not what they didn't.
Well, they're not paid to do that.
They're not paid to do that. And they also didn't get. And that's the thing that, you know, that's the thing about the whole blaming science and activist scientists for climate change is that I don't know of any scientists out there who are making billions of dollars.
I don't think you go into long-term research.
No.
In order to get a Maserati.
No, you do not. It's like people who say, like, teachers are takers. It's like none of them are driving Porsches based off of their public school salaries. But these individuals not only got into weather sciences, but they decided to work for the government, serve publicly to help us. And they're being told you're the problem. They're going to go. And either they're going to fill it with people who will do exactly what they're told, or they'll just shut it down completely, privatize it, and then you have to pay for your weather.
And that's, we've talked about that.
Yeah.
We talked to Corey Hartman here at Civic Media, who is a storm chaser, and we've talked about the importance mm-hmm. of NOAA, and we can talk about Texas and how that all plays in. But we are, again, waiting to connect with New York Times bestselling author Andra Watkins. She also has a Substack called For Such a Time as This, Decoding America 2025. I highly encourage mm-hmm. you to check it out. And they talk about this. What does the dignity of work really mean? This is white Christian nationalist dogma being used to sell Americans who are on public assistance. Russ Vogt, who is the author of Project 2025, and yes. again comes from this Christian nationalist background, was on, of course, Fox, saying the social safety net has become a hammock. Didn't Paul Ryan say that? Or was that the trampoline? I can't remember. The social safety net has become a hammock in the last few years, and as a result, dependency has steeped in. We want to restore the dignity of work.
Okay.
Andra Watkins says the dignity of work is a big, big deal in Project 2025. All about gutting social safety nets and the rise of for-profit industries like our now for-profit prisons.
Mm-hmm.
All these camps. That camp that they set up in Florida.
What are they calling? They're calling it the
Alligator Alcatraz.
Yep.
They're selling merch for it because it's such a lighthearted thing.
It's just,
that's a private prison company.
Yeah,
is my understanding.
Well, and also, you know, I mentioned it earlier before, and we can and if we can find the clip, Cal, from yesterday of Brooke Rollins talking about it, taking all of these quote unquote able-bodied workers off of Medicaid and throwing them in the field because I mean, who doesn't love killing two birds with one stone? We're going to get rid of all of the undocumented workers and people in this country. Get rid of them all. And they're gone. There's nobody to pick our fruit, pick our vegetables, do the things that Americans don't want to do. But we're going to take all those people that 35 or 36 million people on Medicaid who are able-bodied, throw them into the fields because what they're assuming is that these people don't already have jobs. They assume everybody who on Medicaid is, as you said, sitting in a hammock,
yep.
sipping a cool drink.
Playing video games.
They're
big on that now.
And just counting their money.
Yeah.
Just, oh my gosh, just scamming for the millions of dollars they get from the government a year.
Yes.
Isn't that what they do on Medicaid? You get millions and millions. Yeah, that's not also how Medicaid works.
Andrew says that the dignity of work is a teaching that comes from verses in Genesis, the biblical basis for the dignity of work. Work is an obligation, a duty on the part of man. Man must work out of regard for others, especially his own family, and also for the society he belongs to. I think working is good. If you are able to work, mm-hmm. I do believe that we get benefits from working. I do.
I mean,
I think it plays a role in your self-esteem,
mm-hmm.
makes you feel a little bit more. You have a little more agency.
I don't disagree with that to a point. Work can make you feel good when you're doing work which makes you feel good. If you are doing work that is demeaning, underpays you, doesn't give you benefits, you're not respected by management, then that is not the same to me. You are working to live and to survive. And that, I don't believe, leads people to go on the government dole. It just means they're living in an untenable situation.
And they're struggling.
Doing good work can make you feel so good. And that that's because you are doing work which benefits you and others. That's where I agree. Where I stop agreeing with all of that, it just sounds so absolutely tyrannical. Like it should be said on the pulpit. It just sounds so creepy. It gives me very, very, and I'm sorry to make a comparison to people, but it gives me very, very Third Reich-y vibes, very Nazi vibes because of what was on the gates of Auschwitz that said, work sets you free.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. This is the first thing I hear when I think of what was the exact phrasing?
The dignity of work.
The dignity of work. It's just absolutely, to me, disgusting.
We are waiting again to try and connect with New York Times bestselling author Andra Watkins, who has a great Substack that you can check out. And we will include that link in our show notes once the show is over. Been talking about Project 2025 and its basis in Christian nationalism. Russ Vogt is one of the main authors of Project 2025, who is a big proponent of the Christian nationalist movement, essentially, and the dignity of work. And we're going to hear that more and more and more as they talk about cutting people off of Medicaid. And they're all it's interesting to see the framing because it's about saving Medicaid.
Yes.
This is what they're saying. It's about saving Medicaid for the people who really deserve it.
Yeah.
Now, this doesn't also mean that I don't think that there aren't people who take advantage of the system. There probably are.
Yes, you can go and you can research that easily. And there are abuses within our social safety net, and they can be perpetrated by individuals. But also, we don't talk about this. Well, no, you and I have talked about this, but by companies like Rick Scott.
Oh, yeah.
Who defrauded the government for billions of dollars.
Billions.
Billions of dollars.
Wasn't that one of the biggest Medicare frauds in history up to that point?
Yes.
Or the biggest.
He had to resign from the company, and then he said to himself, oh, you know what? I think I'm just going to run for office now. And he got to do that.
After pleading, didn't he take the fifth, 372 times? Okay, that might be an exaggeration. But yeah, he took the fifth during that trial over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But it's all good. It's all good.
It's all good.
Debbie from South Dakota is on the line. Good morning, Debbie. Thank you so much for joining us. How you doing?
Good morning.
What did you want to say?
First of all, hi, cuz.
So Debbie is my cousin who lives in South Dakota. And I just want to remind you, Debbie, we're on the radio. So just...
I know. Okay. I was told.
Okay. So. All right. I love you very much.
Keep it clean.
What's up, my friend? What's up, dear?
You know, I'm just really upset that the government thinks that most people on Medicaid are able-bodied workers. They don't want to be on Medicaid. They want jobs. Mm-hmm. And some of them cannot get up and do the work that the government thinks they can. Some of them have sick children who need health care and cannot leave them at daycare because it costs too much.
Yep.
So they're worried about feeding them and getting them health care. And these rich people can't even imagine how to struggle in life at all. And they think it's like, oh, they're stealing our money.
Yeah.
It's like the government has stolen our money.
Debbie, I don't mean to cut you off, but we got a hard break we're coming up to. Really appreciate you checking in. You can always join us again. Thanks, Debbie, at 855-752-4842. Stay with us. This is Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the recombobulation area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people who voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local civic media radio station, and on the app, The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by U.S. Aging.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning and welcome to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. She is a New York Times best-selling author, has a fantastic Substack called For Such a Time as This. Andra Watkins is joining us. Good morning, Andra. Thank you so much for being here. How are you doing?
Ah, better late than never, right?
Absolutely. We're delighted. We're delighted you could make us. I know you got lots of other things you're juggling as well. You also have other things going on in your life. We were talking a little bit about the whole dignity of work before you joined us and how this is a big, big part of Project 2025. And that's all we're hearing about now with cuts to Medicaid. I'm sorry, strengthening Medicaid. That's what it is. Let's talk a little bit about the origins of this dignity of work and where that comes from and what that means.
Okay, so the dignity of work is a Christian nationalist phrase. It sounds pretty benign, doesn't it? You'd never really know that it came from Christian nationalism.
Yeah.
But it comes from Catholic Christian nationalism. It is a Catholic phrase. If you look on the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. You'll find a whole page devoted to it. Pope John Paul II wrote a whole big piece on it when he was Pope. And so the authors of Project 2025, Jonathan Berry, who wrote that section, clerk for Sam Alito, who's affiliated with Opus Dei, he helped get Neil Gorsuch onto the court. So he's very much a part of that camp. The dignity of work is drawn from the Bible in that they go all the way back to Genesis. And when I've been on here before, we've talked about how important the Genesis, Adam and Eve and the fall and the curse story is to Christian nationalists.
And by the way, for people who might not have heard our earlier discussion, just so you know, everything is Eve's fault. That's pretty much all you need to know.
Everything is Eve's fault, but God also cursed Adam as part of the fall. Adam was cursed with having to work.
Oh.
So this dignity of work is part of God's plan from God's curse of man. Man must work to have dignity and purpose and to not be idle. If you've heard the term, you know, an idle mind is the devil's workshop.
Devil's playground.
Chaucer's Canterbury Tales. Yeah.
Right.
You know, and he was a big Catholic, medieval Catholic writer. But that seeped into Protestantism during the Reformation. So my pastor often said being idle was of the devil when I was growing up in Baptist Christian nationalism. And this is very much part of that. Christian nationalists believe that people who aren't working allow their minds and bodies to be idle. And when their minds and bodies are idle, they are sinning. They are more open to sinning. And so they need to give people who are idle something to do so that they'll stop sinning, so that God will stop judging America for its sin. And that's really what the dignity of work is about.
So, okay. When you were first discussing it or first brought it up just now, you said, seems pretty, you know, doesn't really bring up any
kind of innocuous, right?
But it doesn't for me. And I'm not, you know, I was raised Catholic, but we didn't talk about the dignity of work. I was a low level Catholic. We were very, very lazy. We were very idle, I guess. But when I hear the dignity of work, that phrasing, I think of what my first thought is going to the words over the gates of Auschwitz, which says work sets you free. It's a very,
yes.
It actually gives me like gross chill bumps because just that notion of someone standing over you saying, if you work, you'll be fine. And that's not what we're doing. We're telling them that God will judge you if you don't work. And that's just, and it's just so, ugh, so I don't like it.
Yeah, no. And you're going to be hearing that phrase coming out of Republican politicians' mouths over and over again in the coming months to justify this pulling people off Medicaid and Medicare and forcing them to work. I mean, Brooke Rollins did a notion of it this week when she said, we're going to put these people to work in the fields and give them something to do. That's all part of this dignity of work thing. Russ Vogt said it on Fox Business earlier yes. this week. They're going to say it all the time. So when Americans hear them saying that, I want them to understand what they really mean. That's always one of my goals when Christian nationalists vomit things out of their mouths. I want Americans to understand what they're really saying yeah. to you.
Well, you're the
when they deploy these phrases.
You're our Christian nationalist translator, Andre.
Yeah, our whisperer.
Andre, you really are. Yeah. I mean, because again, your background coming from a Christian nationalist childhood and educational system gives you insights that a lot of us don't have without coming from that kind of background.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, and that was one of my goals in doing this work. They tell you to your face what they want to do to you, and then they laugh because you don't understand them. So I want many, many more Americans to understand what they're saying when they say things like, let's pray about disasters that we caused, or here's the dignity of work, or whatever other things they want to say to Americans to explain away the horrors that they're causing in our country right now.
Mm-hmm. Do you have time to stick around after the 10 o'clock news?
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
I owe you lots more, as much time as you want.
Andrew Watkins is a New York Times best-selling author and also has the Substack For Such a Time as This. Check it out and subscribe. It's wonderful. We're going to continue our conversation with Andrew after we get back. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Is news from the center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Searchers in Texas continue looking through debris and downed trees for anyone who's still unaccounted for after the 4th of July floods. There are also a lot of questions about the response to the rising water and when alerts were sent out after initial warnings were given. ABC's Trevor Ault is in Kerr County, Texas.
Our affiliate KSAT obtaining recordings of a first responder at 4:22 a.m. July 4th, asking an emergency alert be sent out to Kerr County residents, but the dispatcher was hesitant. But that code red, which pushes an alert to cell phones, wasn't sent out for another 90 minutes, some not until 10 a.m., too late for hundreds already underwater.
Another night of drone and missile strikes across Ukraine as U.S. officials admit they're thinking of imposing more sanctions against Russia over the war. Six Secret Service agents who were on duty when President Trump was nearly assassinated last summer have now been placed on suspension. This is ABC News.